96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Are we raising a generation of non-readers? According to a 2016 report by Common Sense Media, reading rates among adolescents have dropped precipitously. Here's just one statistic. Only one-third of 13-year-olds and 45% of 17-year-olds say they read more than one or two books for pleasure in a year. How do we get our children to read more and like it? Well, my guests have some thoughts about that. Kara Amos is a child reading advocate, TV producer, and author of a new children's book, The Secret Stairs. Also with us, Dr. William Flip Clay. He's an educational counselor at Charles Carroll Middle School in Prince George's County. Lines are open if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you are perhaps struggling to have your young children read more, or even your teenagers, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Thank you.
So, Flip, can I call you Flip, or you want Dr. Clay today?
Dr. Clay's fine.
We'll do Dr. Clay today. So, you see young people all the time.
Yes.
In your judgment, are they reading less for pleasure?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Just based on my observation as a professional school counselor, I've noticed majority of our young people today spend a lot of time on their cell phones.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they're not using their cell phones to enhance literacy. So they're busy playing video games, sending text messages to each other, posting videos, talking and chatting, mm-hmm. and not utilizing the cell phone to increase their literacy.
Have you noticed a growth in that? You've been doing this for a while. Have you noticed a huge change over the years with students reading less and less, particularly teenagers?
Yes, I guess peer pressure. Mm-hmm. Peer pressure, the video game industry, parents working two or three jobs, not spending adequate time to sit down with their children and to read books, and they're not reading themselves, so the children model their parents.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Now, Kara, you've written this book, The Secret of the Stairs. It is a mystery. It's your mm-hmm. first novel, but As an advocate for literacy and, of course, a television producer, one would almost say, well, you know, do you read more? Do you watch more TV? Right.
I would say both. But, you know, I think reading more is something I'm passionate about because while I love TV, of course, mm-hmm. I think reading helps spark the imagination in a really different way. You know, when you're watching a TV show, you're entering a visual world that somebody else has created. When you're reading a book, you have to use your own imagination to create that visual world yourself. So it really helps spark the imagination in a deeper way to read a book. So, I really feel like reading has just so many benefits that it will help people become successful in the long run.
But that's an easy sell for the adults. Mm. But how do you sell that to children?
Well, I'm wondering if it's because there aren't enough children's books that feature black characters, characters that kids can relate to, characters that look like them. I think a lot of young people want to see characters that look like them, whether it's in TV or movies or in books. And that's one reason why I was determined to write this book about a young 11-year-old black girl who solves a mystery, because I wanted to put out a very positive fictional character that children of color could relate to.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about reading and children. Why are they reading less and less? Let's go to the phone lines. Let's talk to Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just have a really quick comment. I've been an educator in Montgomery County for 36 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my son late in life. I was 41 when I had him, but he's now in the sixth grade. He's 12 years old. But one thing I learned as an early educator is that children will grow to love books if the adult or the parent makes book reading exciting. So when my son was an infant, I just started out right out just reading books, although he didn't quite understand what I was reading, but he could feel my excitement with words and so forth. And as he started to become a toddler and, you know, an older child, I still read to him. He was understanding the words more, but it was the excitement that I put into the reading that made him have a love for books. And so now he's an African-American child in Montgomery County Public Schools, and from kindergarten, his teachers did not know what to do with him because he was such an advanced reader.
I wanted to make the comment
that it's the adult that needs to make book reading exciting.
Interesting. Thank you so much. What do you think about that, Dr. Clay? She said something I think was really critical. She read to her son, but she said that she put a lot of excitement into that reading. Is that what we're missing?
And I would agree with the mother, but also I think real world connections.
What do you mean by that?
If you're reading a book, you have to, with young people, you have to show the correlation between what's currently going on today and their world and how that story correlates to how the story correlates to their world as far as academics, society as a whole. You just have to make that connection. So mom talking about using excitement. Okay. If that works for her son, that works for her son. But I said and I can't speak on all children, but I would say for most of our youth and children today, from a counsel standpoint, when you can tie a real world connection into literacy, then kids, they're excited about reading.
But what about imagination? For example, I read Alice in Wonderland to my daughter. That had nothing whatsoever to do with her world at all, other than we were talking about a little girl. Does it really have to pertain to their world in order to get them excited about
reading? I wouldn't say it would have to. Mm-hmm. I think each child is different.
Mm-hmm.
Each, you know, the parents are different, the children are different. But I can't speak for all of the youth or all of the children today, but I think when you can show that connection, mm-hmm. There's so much going on in society today, you have to show how literacy coincides with what's going on in society to get the kids excited, per se.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about literacy and just reading. How do we get young people to read more and like it? Let's talk to Pop. Pop calling from Maryland. Pop, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I was calling because I think that one reason young people are not really interested in reading is because it's not being integrated into their value system as they're being brought up. And also, you know, you have advertisers and technology that's also competing for the kids' attention. So there's really no space for a kid to quiet their mind and open a book. So I think those two factors are an important reason why kids are not reading as much. But I also want to make this distinction, too. Because kids are not reading, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not learning or their thirst for knowledge has diminished any. I mean, I think those two are mutually exclusive. But I think the way that they go about learning today is different from how somebody might have learned in the turn of the century when there wasn't any electricity, when a book was essentially social media. That was one of their primary sources of entertainment. So their imagination was sparked differently in the turn of the century than it is today.
Hmm.
So I think it's important to make that distinction, because what worked in the turn of the century is not necessarily working in 2018.
Well, Pop, thank you so much. I appreciate your comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Kara, I met your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And did your parents read to you when you were a girl?
Yes, they absolutely did. Bedtime was the time to sit down with a story and read a little bit each night. So it came kind of like a little tradition. And then as I got older, I kind of took it up on my own. I was an only child. So for me, books became a real source of entertainment before social media. But I definitely think that having parents, and they read themselves, you know, my father was an educator. He read quite a lot. So reading was emphasized in my house from a young age. But speaking of the caller's comment about social media, you know, ebooks are now very accessible. And since kids are on their phones anyway, maybe downloading a book on their phone might be a way to start interesting kids in getting them reading, since they're going to be using the cell phone anyway.
And that was the other point. This isn't so much about books, but about reading. We don't have as many bookstores around as we used to, but books are still readily available. Dr. Clay, you spoke about young people on their phones where they could easily access information. But as you said, they're not reading, they're doing other things. How do you correct that? How do you turn that around? Is that a lost cause?
No, I wouldn't say it's a lost cause. I know currently in my school, the kids first thing in the morning, they read for the first 30 to 45 minutes. And then we emphasize that at least they read an hour a day at home. So, I mean, I guess you keep planting that seed. We can't give up on our kids. So when we have books that correlate with the reflection of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Brenda. Brenda, thanks for calling from Maryland. What's on your mind?
I wanted to say that I believe that one part of it is what many of the callers are saying, is that if we integrate it as part of an everyday existence, we make it into book reading into this anomaly where the kids come home and it's either a chore or a punishment. I grew up with no television in my bedroom. I only had one TV, and that was a television my sister and I watched. So with my four children, they never had televisions in their room. We had one television, and they would have television in their room when they reached the age of 16. So book reading was just something that they did. They'd come home, do their homework, and they'd watch television and up until the time that they were ready for bed, and then they just would read a book, and it became a regular, everyday part of their existence, instead of this thing that we put to the side and, you know, shelve and say, hey, let's read a book one day, and they bored. So,
okay.
Say that.
Brenda, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kara, you started this book, obviously, to tell a story. But did you have literacy and more reading kids in mind when you wrote this book?
I initially started because I wanted to write a mystery. But when I started to think about when did I first fall in love with mysteries, it was when I was a kid. So that's when I decided to make my lead character an 11-year-old girl. And as I started writing more of this book, I began to realize how important it was to have a young black girl protagonist in a fictional story. Because I don't think that we have enough of a variety of young characters of color out there for kids to read. So after I began it, it did become sort of a mission to have a sort of a positive young character in a fictional book.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about getting your children to read more and like it. How do you do it? We're going to have some tips as well. We're also going to find out more about Robbie Raines, this 11-year-old girl that Kara has created, and the mystery surrounding that. Also, another question for you. Audiobooks, are they good or are they bad for children? We'll get an opinion about that as well. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us, Andre, Desiree, Dwayne. You will be able to hear the program. Don't hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're asking, how do we get our children to read more and like it? My guests have thoughts about that. Kara Amos is a child reading advocate, TV producer, and author of new children's book, The Secret of the Stairs, a Robbie Raines mystery. I want to meet little Robbie Raines, too. And Dr. William Flip Clay, he is an educational counselor at Charles Carroll Middle School in Prince George's County. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andre, calling from Baltimore. Andre, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to piggyback of what the previous callers basically said about social media. I don't think they're not reading more. I think it's what they're reading. When you have, like you said, the internet and you have social media, maybe the things that they're reading on social media does not go into, I guess, reading things that are good for them. As far as, I say, for instance, Instagram. There's so many blogs on Instagram that they can read. I say, for instance, they was reading a story about, the Kardashians or any of these hip-hop stars, things of that nature, people that they look up to or relate to, they'll read those articles. Now, my question is, you know, if you're talking about the hood, teenage male figure or female figure, their life, you know, it's not a whole bunch of books that can maybe relate to them as far as their trials and tribulations. You know, if there was more books maybe out there that talk about the female that lost her father at 15 years old and you know, her mother maybe is working two jobs and things like that. That's real.
Okay.
You know, I'm not making that, you know, that's real and things of that nature, but that's what I had to say about it.
Well, thank you so much, Andre. I appreciate it. So here's my question as it relates to what Andre just said, Cara. Is reading, or is there a difference between a Secret of the Stairs mystery and a blog about the Kardashians, for example?
I think there is a difference, actually. Any reading is good. I think having a book that has maybe a fantasy element, an escapist element, is good. It's healthy for children. I also think having books that will teach you something new about the world and will spark your curiosity about the world outside of your own is also important. So I think having a range of things for kids to read, especially kids of color, is very important. So, yeah, it's fun to read about the Kardashians. As a TV producer, I love covering them. But I think having a variety of books out there for children to read, things that reflect real life and sometimes things that 'll give them an escape from real life, that's important.
Dr. Clay, do your children like reading? And for those that don't, what do they say about it?
So, I'm not going to say they don't like it, but because it's... We don't force it, but we highly recommend that they read. So we really don't have a choice because we pretty much when I'm working with the students or the teachers are working with the students, we're correlating it to real life. Okay, this is why you need to read. This is important.
What's the this?
I mean, one day they'll have to get a job, fill out a job application. That's real life. That's a real life experience that most of our children will have to go through in life. They have to read the newspaper. They just have to learn how to read. Mm-hmm. So when you, like the last caller said, when you can show them and they can see it and how it correlates with how it's going to impact them in the future and currently, I think they get excited about it. But you have to keep planting that. You just keep planting. You have to keep planting the seed.
And this is why I ask. I am quite sure that in a reading session, you can, if you have 30 children, 30 12-year-olds, and they are required, as you suggested, to read for 30 to 40 minutes, you can tell in that group who is excited about it, who is okay with it, and which students just don't want to do it. And I'm not talking about a problem student who doesn't want to do anything, but just doesn't want to read. And I guess I'm trying to figure out, you know, what is it that really sparks that desire to be neck deep in a good book?
Maybe it comes back to the point a caller made earlier. Maybe it's the parents and setting that example early, setting that passion for reading early in a child's life and in a child's home. So, you know, we always say that the parents are the first teachers of any child. So if parents were excited about reading and read in front of their kids, maybe that would plant that seed.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Desiree, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Desiree. What's on your mind?
Hello, and thank you for having this topic,
sure.
Mr. Fisher. I was the only child as well, and I learned the gift and the love of reading like around 7 or 8 years old as a result of being the only child. My mother showered me with a bunch of doll babies, but I found so much pleasure in reading. And she told me, when I told my mother at, about 8 years old, that I wanted to get this subscription for reading, and she said, well, if I do this, you're going to have to do a book report for every book you read. I used to like reading about the Bobbsey twins and the Nancy Drew mysteries. I was into mysteries. And I said, okay. And I did that. And I did that for so long. I mean, I think I might have been 10 when I was reading Man Child in the Promised Land, which is something that most kids don't even know about, or even adults. But so I'm a Ward 8 resident right now, and I have been thinking for about 2 or 3 years that I want to start a reading group for middle school girls, okay, over here, you know, and because a group, when you read as a group, just like Oprah does, right, when you read as a group and you discuss the book, you know, that enhances comprehension. But I just don't know how to launch that. But I was hesitant upon moving over here, but God led me here. And there's something I'm supposed to be doing here. And it's been in my spirit to start a group, you know, a reading group for young girls.
Well, let's see what Dr. Clay has to say about that.
Yes, I totally agree. I think when you read as a group, and I highly recommend to parents, you know, have a school board meeting in that, when you get off of work with your child, with a book. And let's just select a book, and we sit down at the dinner table before or after dinner, and we read one chapter at a time. Even in the school, when children read as a group and there's dialogue about a particular book, kids get more engaged.
That's right.
And when the educator's excited, the students get excited. When you can tap and show that real-life correlation, at the same time have a group discussion, now all of the children are excited about reading.
And I completely agree. I've been in a book club myself. My friends have been in book clubs. So why shouldn't kids have book clubs? And even they could have them online as well. I mean, you could do an online book club with ebooks or an in-person book club. But yeah, I think book clubs are a great idea. And can I just do a shout out to Nancy Drew as well and Bobbsey Twins? Because I read all that stuff too. And that's where my love of mystery started. So I'm right there with you.
And let me suggest real quick, Desiree, before I let you go, you are in Ward 8. If you're active in your community, I'm quite sure that during the course of any community meeting, when it's your turn to speak, stand up and say so. I'm quite sure.
I think I will. I just, because I've spoken to a couple of people for assistance in how to launch this.
Okay.
And they just kind of fell by the wayside. So it looks like it's going to be something that I have to be a little more proactive, you know, as far as the dream and making it happen.
Well, you can make it happen, and I appreciate your phone call and your passion about it. So certainly we're looking forward to seeing that happen. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I talk to Bailey and Dwayne, I want to talk to, or at least hear about, Robbie Raines. Here's a question that I have, Kara. How can a grown woman write about an 11-year-old?
Well, I was a kid once.
You know, is she an 11-year-old driving and going to college and with a job? And
No. She's an 11-year-old girl who has a love of history, kind of like me. I was a history nerd. And she uses that love of history to solve an old mystery. She finds herself spending a summer with an aunt she never knew about and a murder. happened in that aunt's house.
Mm.
And she gets very curious because it was unsolved, and she makes it her mission to find out who done it. So she spends her summer hunting down clues. And again, as I said previously, I fell in love with mysteries as a kid because I read mysteries. I read some Nancy Drews. I read some Bobbsey Twins. And I wanted to bring that same experience to girls of today. So here's an 11-year-old girl who uses her brain and her nerdy ways to actually try to accomplish something in the real world.
Okay. I like her already. I like her already. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dwayne calling from Northwest DC. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Harold. And of course, I extend that thank you to your distinguished panel. It's fantastic. And I wish your show was on for an hour on the air. This is food for my soul every day.
However,
your callers, they're fantastic because they touched on points that I wanted to. First of all, this isn't the, 20th century. The 20th century, there were no computers. The book, the analog book, not the digital media, the analog book, that's any book you can open up and sit by a window or sit outside and read, and you will connect with that because it allows your mind to breathe and absorb. It's organic. It is absolutely the way our creator intended it. Here's the thing. The kids today are inundated with digital media. You know, you may be on your phone and reading an article, but there are ads distracting you. And these are to promote, capitalism and consumerism.
How about that?
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of your callers, a young lady a few callers back, she said, incorporate that into your parenting. Make sure that your kids know that they have to set aside time to read in analog fashion, not a digital fashion, in an analog fashion under natural lighting, not artificial lighting. It's very important. I used to read the Bible by natural light at a window in the winter and outside on the porch in the summer.
Hmm.
You will never connect with the Bible if you don't read it in an organic setting. It is just fantastic, and you read it to crystal clarity. Kids need reading in an analog fashion, and they are digital babies. But me and you, Harold, we grew up in an analog world, and we've seen the inception of all this new digital content from Pong to PlayStation, whatever.
Well, Dwayne, I will say that I did have a tablet growing up, but it was a stone tablet with a hammer and chisel. But I do... but I do get your point, and... Which, and I want to thank you for it. And this leads me to my next point. Thank you for calling. We spoke about this earlier, Dr. Clay, about parents reading to children. And we had a caller who actually said, I put a lot of energy and imagination into the reading. What about audio books? I listen to a lot of them now, mostly because I don't have the time to sit and read. However, I still enjoy being read to just as I did as a child. Is that a bad thing?
No, it's not, because you can expand your vocabulary
mm-hmm.
through audiobooks.
But what about for children?
They can expand their vocabulary through audiobooks.
But yes. my problem is, does that really supplant the purpose of reading?
No, it doesn't, but it doesn't hurt
mm-hmm.
per se. I mean, look at it from the perspective they're utilizing their skills in some form or some fashion. It's auditory. They're listening. They're probably moving while they're listening. So I don't think it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime you can expand a child's vocabulary through any form or any format, it really can't hurt the child.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Bailey calling from West Virginia. Also, Bob calling from D.C. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about getting your children to read more and like it. We'll be back in a moment.
If you'd like to stay connected, this is your
Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about getting young people to read more and like it. Let's go to Bailey calling from West Virginia. Bailey, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Thank you. First of all, I want to say how good it is to hear these kinds of conversations on the radio.
Yes, ma'am.
Because our world, I'm 72. I taught for 42 years in California, in Virginia, and in the Philippines. And my whole premise has been kids will do whatever you teach them to do. We haven't taught our children to read. I started reading to my daughter when I was 6 months pregnant because my doctor said she could hear my voice. And I read to her every day at the same time for 15 minutes. When she was born, the third day that she was in the world, I read to her and she was looking at me.
What were you reading to her while you were pregnant?
Children's books.
Okay.
Yeah, children's books. And then I realized when I came back to the United States from being overseas that kids had stopped reading. And I was trying to figure out what changed while I was away. I was overseas 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started reading, and it surprised me. They were coming to Miss Ingleton. Have you read Harry Potter? Do you know how many kids have read every book that Harry Potter has his name on?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were interested. The other thing that we've done to our children is that they haven't changed. We have. There's nothing wrong with being digital and also being analogical at the same time.
Mm.
My kids, right now, kids can't read a clock.
Yeah, how about
that? They can't take time. They can't do it. In my classroom, I went to third grade study and got a clock and hung it in the room, and I taught them how to tell time.
Yes.
Because they can't tell time. They have no memory. If they lose their phone, they can't call home. They can't remember the number. See, this is not play.
Okay.
People don't realize what's happening to our children because we are allowing them to give up a skill that's more than reading. It's emotion.
Well, Bailey,
socialization.
Thank you for sharing, and I think you made a bag full of important points. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Let's talk to Bob. Bob calling from D.C. Bob, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, hello. How you doing? I'm glad you guys are on this conversation. My point is, as we all know, an apple doesn't fall too far from a tree. And if you take a child, and when they're born, and as the lady said a minute ago, if you read to a child while she's pregnant, they can hear you. And you bring them out with books in their hand, and you teach them how to read. You read to them all the time. Our problem in the black society, which I got to speak on because that's the way I live, we teach our kids how to dance too fast. We teach them how to party too much. And, you know, when I used to drive chartered buses, I go down the highway, I can see black kids in the back of the car, they jumping up and down to music. I see white kids in people's cars. They got books in their hand. They're reading.
Hmm.
I get on airplanes. White people got books in their kids' hands. We need to buy the little books for the kids when they're young. Stop buying them all the Air Jordan tennis shoes and all that. Standing in line to buy Air Jordan tennis shoes. Where that you go out in Maryland somewhere, they're standing in line to buy books.
Okay.
Or some book that came out, you know. So we have to teach what's important. And the younger generation now is not teaching their kids that. They ride in the back of the car. They got music blowing. They got marijuana smoking. They're yelling and screaming and stuff at their kids.
Well, Bob, thank you. I appreciate it. I want to talk specifically about that because the lady who called from West Virginia made a really important point. She said the kids haven't changed. We have. And so along that vein, you know, Carol, when you were a child, what did you read?
You know, I've read a lot of books related to things on TV. Since I went into TV as a career, I always loved it. But for example, when I saw The Wizard of Oz on TV, I wanted to read the book.
So you went back.
So I went back because I wanted to know more. And I know I'm dating myself, but when I watched Roots with my mom and dad, guess what? I wanted to read the book, Roots. I wanted to know more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a lot of the times my parents allowed me to, they not only gave me a variety of books, but if there was something on television or another form or movie that interested me, if there was a book that related to it, they would encourage me to go get that book. So that was something that also kept me reading.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dr. Clay? What did you read when you were a young teenager?
Nothing. To be honest with you, my love for reading started when I was in graduate school.
Really? Tell me about that.
In West Virginia State, my professor stated, if you want to keep something from black people, put it into a book.
Mm-hmm.
And it I can't say what I want to say.
So you got mad.
Yeah, I got mad. Yeah. Really, really. And I'm like, for real? And then I realized he was telling the truth. So after that, I just started reading. After I heard that, I was like, no, I'm going against the system. I'm going to read.
Now you make a really critical point. So prior to getting angry about it in graduate school, how did you feel about reading growing up?
It wasn't forced, even though I lived in a two-parent household. It wasn't, no emphasis wasn't placed on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't, you know, read this book or read that book. No, I didn't have nothing against it, but I wasn't excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it took something to that degree of that nature for someone to say something to me to open up my eyes. That's why I said we have to continue to plant seeds with our children and our youth, because you never know what you're going to say, what you're going to do, what's going to trigger that passion.
Mm-hmm.
That's embedded in all of our children.
I will say, as I mentioned earlier, even with my daughter, I read to her Alice in Wonderland in its original form, but I read from a book that my mother received from her mother.
Mm.
So it was the same. That was the book that my grandmother read to my mother. And no matter what you think about it, I think that, again, the vocabulary, mm-hmm. the story, the complexity of that kind of writing, even for children, is so important because it forces them to think and to use their imagination.
And to imagination. And I've always believed that, you know, when you have a goal in life, you have to imagine yourself achieving it before you can get there. And so I think it's important to develop a determined imagination early in life if you really want to be successful. Mm. So reading books like that spark the imagination is really important.
Let's talk in these last few minutes about some really practical tips to get young children to read it at any stage. What do you say, Dr. Clay, to parents that are concerned?
Try to select books, again, that reflect us in a positive nature. Books that have pictures.
At the graphic novels.
Graphics, pictures, you know, that's just not going to force them to look at one type of learning, but you're going to have pictures in it, graphics. You know, again, it has to be relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was sharing with her novel and correlating it with a lot of stuff that happens in the African-American community. This is a mystery novel about someone that was killed, correct?
Correct.
So we know we have a lot of killing in our community. So when you can show that correlation and then tie it back into her novel, it piques the interest. So our parents need to, you know, tie it into real life application.
And maybe also find out what your kid is interested in and find a book that relates. So if your kid is into basketball, find a biography of Michael Jordan. You know, find a book that's going to relate to something that your kid's already into. That might also spark their interest in reading.
And I think you did make an excellent point when you spoke about if there's a movie that they like, and you, it was such a great point. You said, I wanted to know more. I suspect that, for example, when you mentioned Roots, you had no idea just how much more you would learn, because
exactly.
if I remember when I went back mm-hmm. to read it, before you even got to Kunta Kinte, there was like a whole book in front of
exactly.
it. Just chapters and chapters and chapters and really, really extra detail. And as you also said, Dr. Clay, when you talk about Harry Potter, I'm amazed at just how people were standing in line to read. Sometimes you got to make sure you make the best choices, good authors, good writing, so that children will want to read.
And I'm looking forward to the Black Panther novel.
Yes.
I think our kids will eat it up.
Absolutely.
Jesse Holland, the Associated Press reporter who is writing the next Black Panther novel and does have ties to this studio. He was here, as a matter of fact. And he also very, very excited about the prospects of writing into that. And I think that's a prime example. And maybe you need to get the kids get the worm on the hook right away. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, final thoughts about The Secret of the Stairs, and when's the next one going to come out, Carla?
Well, I have the idea for books 2 and 3, so I need to sit down and do it.
And for those who are interested in finding out more about the book, where can they find you online?
They can find me online. RobbieMysteriesSecret.com is the website, and they can buy the book. And,
don't you have a book signing or something coming up
somewhere? And I do have a book signing coming up this Sunday at St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Foggy Bottom. It's a historic Episcopal church at 728 23rd Street.
Is that information on the website as well?
It's on the website as well.
Okay. RobbieMysteriesSecret.com. I'll make sure that, as always, we post that information on WHUR.com for those of you who are interested in checking out The Secret of the Stairs and the woman behind the Robbie Raines mystery. So congratulations. Thank you so much. And Dr. William Clay, always a pleasure to have you in with your expertise. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, April 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.